Hey there, Pants People. Steven here. Just want to say real quick before the episode, thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for being here. We love you. Enjoy the episode.
Superstar Jean Franklin here. Now, the life of a luminary is terribly stressful. You never know what dangers you face, what sort of atrocious filth you accumulate in the cracks of your shell. Blech! That's why I'm always delighted to relax and restore at the pale moonlight between missions. A silverfish mud bath with a side of succulent sushi. Yes, please. A complimentary massage kept up with the most delightful pedicure. I'm already in the chair. The menu selection is just lovely, with five-star rated umizen dishes that will have your mouth watering for days. Drink selection? Only the finest sakes you could ask for. And of course, the finest wines for those with alternative palates. And the rooms. Well, there's a reason I wake every morning grinning like a fool and purring like a tamed tiger. I'll tell you, the pale moonlight is more than just an inn. It's my home away from home.
Fuck the pale moonlight.
How dare
or
you?
It was.
Or it was. We'll get to all that in a minute.
Because we should probably talk about level six.
Level six.
Ooh,
level six.
Level six.
This is exciting. We didn't really get into this before because we had a lot of stuff happening last episode. You kind of leveled up like two episodes ago. But, you know, before we get into combat, before anything crazy happens, you know, you just had this week or 10 days, actually, of celebration, you know, an actual kind of downtime. So I want to know what you got at level six. And I also want to know how you think you got it. What were you doing? We know Chester was with the Dwergar. He was hanging out with the Burn Shadow Clan, the Silent Bursts, and learning from them, getting some sniper training. Jean was out there every day training like a madman for this tournament. And that's where their levels come from. Their new strength comes from. What about you? Who wants to start?
Steven, start.
So I imagine Blanche, she stays up late into the night partying, you know, that's what this is all about, the 10 day.
Yeah.
And then in the morning she gets up super early to go and help Jean. And it's like, she should be sleeping in between, but she's bringing books home from the local libraries or her own personal stash. And when she goes up to her room to catch some shut eye, before she does, she's reading and she's falling asleep on her scrolls.
She's
pooped.
It.
She is pooped, but she's putting in the work, and it's really paying off.
Things got dicey back there. I mean, it's a time to celebrate, but I mean, I'm sure there's that feeling of we need to get stronger, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Things got close. Hell yeah, I love that. What's going on at sixth level? What's happening for Blanche?
So there's, you know, I think it was just one more spell. So I picked a spell. You'll have to wait and see what that is, I suppose. The big notable thing is...
Oh?
Extra attack.
That is.
Yeah.
Oh, that yeah. is crazy.
And one of those attacks can be a cantrip.
Extra attack on a wizard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's so cool. It's yep. so cool.
It's going to be crazy.
You can just weave a cantrip. Yeah, that is...
Mm-hmm. Oh, or the cantrip first, you know, like do, what do you call it?
Yeah, right?
Shut up, I'm trying. Like do true strike for the cantrip,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then, you know, going for a sword swing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That is pretty damn cool.
All sorts of really cool combos, wombo combo.
Yeah.
So here's to second attack, extra attack.
Hell
cheers,
yeah.
Cheers.
Hell yeah.
That is awesome. And then, yeah, are you going to tell me your spells or are you going to keep them secret?
Yeah, I really kind of want to keep a spell under wraps.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun when I decide to pull it out.
Save for the unzipped that we released last week and are going to record after this.
Recording in the opposite order, but it makes sense.
Yeah, unzips are second episode energy, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a difference. I think everyone listening knows it.
Yeah.
If you've gotten this far, you know about second episode energy. hey, you want to roll for HP?
Oh, yes, HP. Ooh, let me pull up my
hippity boo
thing thing there.
Roll for it.
Okay, so Blanche is at 38. No, wait, hold on. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I have a d20 in my hand. What am I doing? No, that's not the dice.
No, it's a d6 for the wizard.
Oh, d6, really? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, that's sad.
Okie doke.
All right, here we go.
4.
1.
Okay, I'll take 4 then.
Taking a 4. I was so hoping you'd get a 1. I want to wipe that stupid grin off your face once and for all.
Nope. Instead, I ended up with 42 HP.
So. Oh, and he's grinning like a fool over there.
No, I'm happy with that. 42 HP for a level 6 wizard. Is that good? Is that good?
Not bad. I mean, the AC is what really stands out with your wizard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
outrageous.
Yeah. What you looking for, bucko?
My D6.
Oh, no. Are you also a D6? You can borrow my D6.
So we got some Blanche going. Now let's hear from our favorite luminary, the Midnight Prince, Mr. Jules LaRoche himself. What's going on, Jules?
I didn't choose that title.
Dude, that title's awesome.
I did not choose that title.
You didn't. He took too long, so I gave you a David title.
Midnight Prince t-shirt, though, right?
Dear Lord.
Joan Franklin loves his titles, you know?
I like to think that as the story goes on, Jules just naturally continues to have this magic building up inside of him. And he just keeps growing more and more powerful. And as it keeps growing, it's more of a struggle for him to contain it and control it in the ways that he wants to control it.
Huh.
I don't know.
I like that. You know, it almost sounds like it's like a muscle. Like, it's like this weird other muscle to you. Because you keep on, you're using it and you're stretching it in strange ways. And it really is developing and growing.
Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah, it's just spilling out. You're something that you can't fully understand.
Right.
You were made to be a vessel for something. And like magic, kind of like a, you know, it just fills you like a goblet spilling over here and there and staining the world around you. It's cool.
This, now you got this big fat magic muscle.
Big old big fat magic muscle. So I got a couple of fun things. I got a counter charm. As an action, I can perform until the end of my next turn. During that time, you and any friendly creatures within 30 feet that can hear you gain advantage on saving throws against being frightened or charmed.
That's really cool.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. If we ever come across something, some baddie that's doing that.
Yep.
Huh.
Then I also have animating performance, which as an action, you can animate one large or small non-magical item that isn't being worn or carried. The animate item uses the dancing item stat block.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And you can make things, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you can make it and then animate it.
I can make
it. Exactly.
And animate it.
I think it's got like 16 AC.
Wow. Yeah.
And it lives for 1 hour until it is reduced to 0 hit points.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Got a little...
Find some creative ways
fun, creative ways, maybe a little protection if we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or at least something to soften a blow.
It sounds like there's a lot of cool creative plays coming out. That's without the spells that I don't know about that are, I'm sure, going to ruin my whole life very soon.
You know about my spell. We discussed it before we started recording. I chose Healing Word.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes the simple choice is a strategically excellent choice.
Exactly. Well, like you said, all of my healing right now is based on touch.
Yeah.
And with Healing Word, I get a 60-foot range.
Bonus action,
which
too.
Is fucking great. Bonus action.
Yeah, bonus
that's,
is really...
That's huge.
Imagine a world where you can drop that, take out the old Sturge Sword, and get that crit extra heal on yourself. Like,
yes.
Now you have can weave in more
attacks.
I will
absolutely take out that sword that Sturge Man gave me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It's a cool sword.
Wait, why did you say it that way?
Oh,
to avoid saying Sturge Sword. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yes. What? Hey, hey.
Yes.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Sturge Sword, I don't mind too much. Sturge Stone.
Sending Sturge?
No, I think Sturge Stone is at least.
No, I put it. It's already in a sheet. Ascending Stone. It's or Sending Sturge. It's over.
Mm. It literally is in the sheet, and it says.
I made sure to add it myself so I could title it myself. Jules.
Oh God!
You have not been winning the HP roulette too often.
No.
You've been having a bad time in this show. Maybe tonight will be a little different. What do you think? What do you think? Grab your D8.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, do I have higher HP than you with a D6?
Probably. Where are you at?
I started with 38.
I'm starting with 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, you have the amulet that gives you at least a little bit of con.
Right.
Otherwise, you just got, it's just straight dice roll, and that's it. It's brutal.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
God Ready? Damn it. Mine didn't go all the way through.
All right.
What'd you get?
Tell me first.
What'd you get?
I mean, we get to know both numbers, like.
3.
I'm really, really sorry, Jeremy. I rolled an 8. Oh my God.
Thank goodness.
He rolled Thank max. Thank
goodness.
Oh. You know, halfway through your little statement there, I was like, he rolled high. He would never apologize.
It's true. I did feel terrible. I did feel terrible that I rolled an 8. Damn. All right. Well, with that out of the way, gentlemen. You ready to start an episode of the old FP?
Ooh, I almost forgot to add my +2 for my constitution modifier.
So you're not ready?
No, no, I am.
Okay. Just build into something. Now I'm cool.
Sorry. Yeah, why don't you, hey, why don't you start over?
Let's go into a flashback. Let's go back to the Golden Bay. Not as we left it, but as it stood some years ago. I believe we touched on this, Blanche. I can't remember exactly what we decided on, but I think it was 10 to 12 years ago. I want to say about 12 years that you had become the Master Defense.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You had won the tourney. And this
we should write scene this stuff down.
We're opening up on is actually the morning after our first Blanche flashback. You have just won the tourney. Your victory in the Tide Pool Arena carrying you to such heights. And now you stand in the Montelio household, the castle that oversees the Golden Bay. Now, imagine, if you will, just like this arcing sloping down until it hits the white beach where the water sort of meets and rushes in, constant sound of crashing waves. And as we move up the slope from there, we see a number of stone-built homes, many weary waving sort of banners above them. There's a lot of smaller clustered homes sort of around larger, more fortress-like houses. These are where the more wealthy of the Golden Bay, the ones that might form the King's Circle, would reside. And as you go up and up and up, the houses get loftier and larger. Strangely enough, the higher level, the higher properties are away from the water. It's higher and it's cool until you hit the top of the sloping hill where you see one house that stands apart from all others, one structure that is entirely unique. This absolutely beautiful castle. Not enormous, not huge by any right. The palace in Zinda were larger than this. I mean, the Golden Bay does not have the population that Zinda has, not nearly. But there is spectacle here, as you see these finely carved walls and towers of hardened sand, magically firmed sand. You see, quite literally, a giant sandcastle.
Hell yeah.
With the Montelio banners flapping behind, all over red and gold, and a black leaping fish. And somewhere high, high up on a parapet of this castle, it'd be like an open sort of courtyard, high and overseeing all of the Golden Bay, the sound of rushing waves echoing faintly to your ears, you stand as you are about to be introduced to the young lord, your new pupil. Now, your job here is multifold, right? You are the sort of head of defense here. You're the master of defense. You control... Well, first of all, here's a question for you. So we're getting improv-y. What do you call the military force here? What is the Golden Maze military known as? We have the silent verse of the sort of hidden police force of Zinda.
Any suggestions?
My placeholder was Shellguard.
Dude, I actually was I was sitting here, I was like,
that's so awesome.
I was like, shell defense is stupid. but Shell Guard is like thing. My it's idea, solid. But better. No, it's better.
Well, you know, that's, yeah, the Shell Guard. I had the kind of in my notes. I was like, I want to see what Steve wants to do instead. So kind of like,
I took a couple seconds. I was thinking about it. And I was like, I can't come up with anything other than other than Shell Defense.
It's on your stupid. Sheet. Shell Defense is a thing you have on your sheet.
Oh yeah, it's the move.
It's an ability. You're literally doing the like looking around, look at your sheet, shell,
defense.
You'll do the same thing three times.
Okay, Shell Guard.
Okay.
Shell Guard's excellent.
You are the commander of the Shell Guard. You oversee basically like they. We should actually do a quick history lesson. We talked about the nine pools in passing, right? It's Lord of the Nine Pools. The Nine Pools are sort of the wider territory that the Golden Bay oversees, right? So as you kind of branch out from the Golden Bay, you'll see there's a number of small, like, almost like these grand tide pools, right? They're almost lakes, but they're lakes that are extremely shallow. You can walk through them, and they kind of go deeper and deeper inland via larger sort of river inlets that feed between them all, almost, okay, like, a, sure, almost like a network of roads that bind these pools together. Whoever takes the seat of the Golden Bay oversees the nine pools as well. And they're all turtles. Turtles live amongst these things. They're smaller residents. The farther you are away from the Golden Bay, the smaller the pool gets. The smaller the population in the pool.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they're sort of like salt marshes?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as it kind of further back. I mean, certain fish you're only going to catch over there.
Right.
You know. It all kind of feeds into the Golden Bay's economy, the booming fishing market that allows them to play with the big boys in Zinda. So, yeah, that's the Nine Pools.
Okay.
You oversee those as well. Your Shell Guard are distributed all throughout, patrolling, monitoring, keeping back whatever dangers lurk in the open sea and in the lush jungles on land.
Sure. So just for my curiosity.
Yeah.
What size is that kingdom? Like, is it the size of, like, a town, a county, a state?
Territory-wise, it is larger than the territory Zinda actually occupies.
Okay.
Zinda is a dense metropolitan kind of city-state. And while there's some control in the area around it, there's not a lot. There's, like, jelly farms, things like that. But most of the actual activity in Zinda lingers in Zinda. The Golden Bay has a more distributed, like, you know, like all over the place population, but it controls a larger, like almost county-wide, I guess I would say,
okay,
territory.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. It's expansive.
Yeah, for sure.
It's strange that it's so unknown to the world, or to the larger, right, world, you know, kind of hiding in the shadow of the great towers of Zinda. You have this huge, you know, thriving civilization of turtles.
Mm-hmm. So maybe in like a real-world comparison, the master of defense would be equivalent to like a sheriff.
Yeah. Know, I like that a lot.
In charge of like a county-wide area.
I like that a lot.
Okay, that's great. That helps me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is one of your objectives. You have one other as well. And that is, of course, the training of the young monarch. Not something that the master of defense is always made to do, but something that has been specifically requested of you.
Maybe something that has in recent years been more of like a like an honorary sort of, I don't know, like an like inactive, like maybe in days of old it was like, yes, you,
yeah,
will train this my heir in, you know, martial combat, and as time has progressed on, maybe it's gotten a little less formal.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I mean, the monarch is supposed to be the best fighter amongst the Golden Bay, but that was a belief that was you know, kind of pushed aside long ago.
Right.
DePiero Montelio certainly, yeah, is not the best fighter.
Although he gave a couple good licks.
Couple
good licks in that fight.
You see DePiero now, as you the wind rustles your weird little hair. You're standing out in the open air in this sort of wider field, this wider courtyard. He steps out in his long and regal robes, and at his side, kind of, he's almost like pushing him along, you see the young Jean Franklin. They look very similar, you can tell here. I mean, same, like, you know, vibrant blue eyes, same kind of green skin, speckled with yellow spots. Jean's is much more vibrant than DePiero's. DePiero's is older, and his is definitely showing signs of age and discoloration. Not to the point of yours, but they come to approach you. DePiro looks you in the eyes as they get about 10 feet away. Master of Defense, tell me, your lodgings, are they sufficient?
Are they sufficient?
Hell yeah, they're awesome.
Okay.
imagine Blanche before this wasn't in such a lofty place. You would spend some time on Umuzu you were born in the Golden Bay. Mm-hmm. You were probably born in one of the pools.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like the home of a fishing family that was not mm-hmm. high.
So the further out the pools go, I don't want to go too far out on a tangent here, but out the pools go, does it become like more and more impoverished maybe?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, pretty much anything that's here in the Golden Bay is probably going to be above and beyond whatever she found in the pools.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. And she probably comes from, I mean, especially being with Ozen, you know, nice, clean accommodations, but fairly Spartan, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, very. Yeah.
Yes, my lord. They will do quite nicely.
Very well. I spoke to some of the guard. Your initial instructions were well received. We are glad to have you.
Thank you, my lord. I shall not disappoint you.
Kind of smiles, this sort of wry smile.
I certainly hope not. Not in the defense of our good people, and not in the training of my young son.
Kind of like looks down sharply at Jean.
His mother wished him to train in the spear. In the air to the base should learn, I suppose. So long as he remembers to prioritize his mind, kind of gives him a firm sort of glance, then these lessons will be welcome. Perhaps in time you can beat into him a respect for learning, warm him up for the mental arts that are to come. There is time yet. I still have to find him a tutor in numbers. Most promising candidate I've found so far is a boy his own age. Can you believe it?
Well, I will tell you, my lord, that training the body will help in training the mind. It will center the boy, the young lord.
Good. Like it or not, someday he will rule here. And he must be sharp in Understood. All things.
Very well. Understood, my lord.
He sort of shuffles back, leaving a space between him and Jean.
Go. You have 1 hour.
He sort of spins and begins to move away as robes fluttering in the breeze as he returns to his duties as lord, as king of coin. And you are left with a young lord. This boy looks at you, kind of begins to move over towards a training spear, perhaps already laid out, picks it up, kind of awkwardly sort of twirls it from hand to hand. Hang on, let me see if we can get this in.
I'm Jean Franklin. I'm young Jean Franklin. Yes, there it is.
Excellent.
So, you're going to show me that move. Yesterday, last night there was a...
And he kind of like steps in, and he starts like a stab into a swirl. Your spear goes out wide in this arc.
Yes, and you took them right in the head, knocked him, the helmet clean off. He was, yes, that move. You're going to show me that move now.
You won't be learning the narwhal approach for quite some time, young lord.
The narwhal approach, fuck yes. Yes.
In fact, we won't be wielding spears for quite some time.
No. You're my spear tutor. That's what Father brought you here for.
And when you sit down to learn your numbers, where will you start? At the beginning? Or will you learn to balance the books of the kingdom on day one?
I'm not going to learn my numbers. I'm going to learn the spear from you. I'm the prince. I'm your master. You need to show me what I want
to
learn.
She sweeps him and he falls to the floor.
On his shell, and he can't get off, kind of rolling. Yeah.
She walks over and puts her head above his.
Yeah.
You need to learn to defend yourself without the spear before you can wield it. And she reaches a hand out.
Think. Hand reaches up to you, takes yours.
And she pulls him up with her badass Blanche strength.
He sort of groans, looks at the spear, kind of... This is weird. He's not told no very much. You could see that in him. He's not... This isn't happened. Drops the spear to the ground.
Fine. We'll do it your way. So what?
Well, first we'll do a little bit of stretching and warming up.
Stretching it? Fine.
How's your mile?
What?
Your time on your mile. How often do you do it?
Oh. What?
Very well. Let's see. And Blanche starts to jog off.
Wait. Wait. Come back here. Sir!
And let's cut ahead. All these years later, when the young prince has finally been crowned. Imagine if you will. We pan out from that sort of scene, that flashback, see these two figures sort of running. And we see the great sort of sandcastle overlooking the Golden Bay. We pan out and see the bay as a whole in this dawn light. And we see time just shifting ahead of us, years passing. We find ourselves under the stars in the sky. It is night here, torches lit along the rising streets. Great sconces lit along the towers of the sand castle.
It's called the sand castle?
I don't care. It's cool.
No. Is it called the sand castle?
Yeah.
All right.
Fight me.
It is kind of funny.
No, I'm not going to fight you. I like it.
All right, cool.
I'm on board.
Zoom in.
Yeah.
Through a window at the top of the castle. Zoom in and then towards the dwellings of DiPiero Montelio. Now, just after the announcement was made, the tournament ended, DiPiero departed immediately. Turned without a word, left the box that you were all in as you, I imagine, sat stunned at his words, at this revelation. Jean staring up in what looks to be stark horror. DiPiero made his way out, and a guard sort of carrying him, sort of a preset plan. What do they call those things? Palanquin? Palanquin. Taking his palanquin and leading it up towards the castle. Blanche, perhaps you've just reached this place. I imagine, for one thing, you've heard that Jean following the tournament. You didn't see him either. He immediately went off in pursuit of his father, demanding answers. Would Blanche want to also find them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty critical part of her job.
I think, as you're kind of leaving, there's a lot of guard. What are we doing? Probably some deliberation with the guard as you're kind of going out, and so you're just a little bit slower to reach them as DiPiero and Jean reach the castle ahead of you. So as we pan into this hallway leading to this room, we pan towards Blanche, approaching a closed great sort of door at the end. Also made of sand with a shell. This is a knob. I don't care. It's cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's like a little conch shell.
It'd have to be really soft, though, or around it.
Yeah.
You don't want to cut yourself on that conch or conch?
It's conch.
I think it's conch.
It's conch.
You tell us, pants people.
It's conch.
It's conch. No, it's conch. It's not.
Hey. Serious time. Serious turtle.
Jeez. This is a big political moment.
Oh, God. You just hear yelling, muffled yelling behind the doors. You get closer and closer down the hall, and words begin to rise out. So this is why? For this, you step down? I mean, damn it, you should, but how? How could you do this to her? I did what I did, Jean. I did it for us, for our people. I did it! You hear the sound.
Whoa.
Of a fist crashing against flesh scales, whatever turtles have. You hear a sound of someone falling, a clattering of glass where it's breaking, and steps towards the door. The door opens. Jean stands before you. Tears in his eyes, face furious, teeth gritted as he catches you. His face turns one of just such horror and sorrow and regret, and there's something in his hands, you see, sort of clenched up in his fist, a piece of paper, like some parchment, a scroll or a letter, something. He catches your eyes for a second and then looks away.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir.
What's happening, John?
Damn it! Damn it!
And he just starts moving away.
All right, I guess.
Do you follow him, or?
No, I guess Blanche is gonna watch him leave and turn to the room, turn to De Piero.
You kind of push through the door, see De Piero slowly kind of rising up from the ground. There's a huge sort of, so it hasn't really bruised up yet, but you can see where like a mark is lying the side, like it's a cheek.
Blanche walks over to help him up.
You reach your hand out towards him?
Yeah, she goes to like...
He stares at your hand, does not take it. His eyes fall away from you. He kind of just stands up.
Master of Defense, if I'm being honest, I had hoped not to see you this night.
Stay. He kind of puts a hand up, and then almost for a moment, like there's a second where he realizes that he no longer has any ability to command you, and he adds, please, stay. He finishes getting to his feet. There's this palpable tension in the room. It's funny. Most boys spend their lives hoping to earn the pride and respect of their fathers. Many tales are told of this. But we never talk about the father's perspective. Seeing the boy become a man and hoping. John Franklin is not ready. Still too emotional, too hasty, but he is the future. He will learn.
Of course he will. But why now?
I suppose the truth must out. I have done something. Not this murder he suspected me of, no. I was a part of that, but as you've seen, it was no sin. But I am not innocent. There may be blood on my hands, and I have betrayed. Well, I've betrayed you. You need to know, I did what I did for my son's sake. He lost his mother too young, and you were so much like her. He was a brat of a child, but you changed him somehow. You planted something, a seed of something within him. I could not let you leave until I saw it grow and bloom. I could not let you go.
What are you saying?
When the letter came, I opened it, I read it, and I replied in your stead. I spent enough time with you to pose quite effectively, and this was not the first document I have had forged in my time.
What did it say?
It would be best if you read it yourself.
You see, he's holding back tears now.
Jean took it with him. The burden of this truth, all of my burdens are his now. I am sorry, Blanche. I must do what I believe is right for our people, even if it hurts the ones I care about most. I believed in this principle, but I couldn't have known what happened. I couldn't have known about Tythos.
The letter.
Blanche goes into Blightsong and just runs after Jean.
Holy shit.
Not to attack him, just for the movement.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You just hear,
I had to. I had to. It's not...
His voice lost in the sounds of your singing bell metal blade as you rush down the hall. Jules.
Oh, I'm here too.
Yeah, we're doing fun. let's cut. Let's cut from that scene for a minute because it's fun to cut from things, that intense moments. The old David special. Jules, you are... far removed from this, I think. Perhaps, like, they ran off ahead, but... where are you? Like, this is kind of a shock to your system, I imagine. Like, is Jean... Is he leaving? Your luminary partner already gone?
I think Jules found a quiet beach. A quiet shore.
I love it, because that's in my notes.
Get out. You called it?
I was going to say you were a beast, and I was like, I should ask him what he's doing. Kind of like with you. I was like, I should ask if you go after them. Sure. And you guys did exactly what's in my notes. I was like, cool. Awesome. Made my life really easy.
I think you get a shot from behind. He's just sitting kind of cross-legged on the ground, looking out at the water. Chester next to him as well.
Hell yeah.
And they go through phases of, you know, complete silence for a long period of time. And then random chit-chatter or whatever else, back to complete silence.
Yeah, yeah. I think actually I should note this, because I think I haven't noted yet, but you see Chester in this sort of back image, but you see that, like, his jacket's gone. The Hungry Moths would have burned his sort of brown, like, leather kind of long jacket, that patchy thing that he always used to wear. It's like it was tattered by the time that moss was removed. So I think now you see him wearing, like, a colorful floral pattern, like, sort of longer shirt instead, with the same sort of worn, wide-brimmed hat in his head, just kind of sitting there looking out to sea. I think you're in one of those silences now, and then sort of abruptly he decides to break it. So you missing dance?
I do. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Jeans won't be happy with how long this trip has taken. I'll have to pick up some good fabrics on my way out. She was talking about sewing round stuff a nice dress. Doubt she'll wear it, but, you know, thought's nice.
Eh, you guys are strong. You'll be able to handle the time away. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's good. It's, you know, it's early, but it's good.
Good.
How you doing, Jules? I know all this, but also, like, we've had some time to cool down, but that, you know, that, the stuff in the palace, it was a lot, right? It was a lot.
To be honest, Chester, I'm just kind of a little numb to it all at this point. I'm not gone, though.
Hey.
We'll be back.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine. You know, you get numb. I hear you. I mean, yeah. Something kind of far off in his expression. I feel it too. I'm good. I'm better than ever. You know, and I get it now, Jules. I really get it now, and I'm sorry it took me so long.
Just keep growing.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
Growing. And next time I won't bother you. I won't hesitate. I'll do it.
Just be Chester.
Just be Chester. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no.
Hmm?
You don't have to justify your actions to me.
No, I'm not. It's not.
Just be. Just be.
Yeah. There's a smile there, and he does seem easygoing. I'm sorry I made a big thing about Diva Luma trying to save her. It's stupid. She could have killed us all, but hey.
No.
All works out, right? Just like God's breath. Sometimes people gotta die. Sometimes we gotta kill them. But it works out. We watch out for each other. And we keep moving forward. Hey, we keep growing.
Chester?
Yeah?
We always do what's right.
I know. I get it.
Okay.
Though, man, I still can't believe we're losing the royal brat. The big king of the beach now, huh? I hated the guy, remember? You know, because he almost killed us. I said never talk to him, ever. You know, remember that? And now
I do.
I think I'm really going to miss the fella. He's gone, right? He's got to do this now.
I don't know. I guess we'll let him tell us that. And then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. I guess we'll... He suddenly just looks up. You know Chester has shrewd, like, marksman's eyes, and so as they hone in the distance, you know something must be there. Hey, Jules, you see something out there? Something rushing our way?
Do I see it?
To answer your question, I have to ask Steven a question. Steven.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Oh, boy. Oh.
What are the chosen mounts of the Shell Guard? What do they ride into battle as they patrol and scout, down the rivers, through the pools, you know, out in the
in the water.
Sea. Yeah, so they have a water mount. They do a lot of fishing. I think they some kind of trained, awesome thing.
Manta rays.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and they'd work so well in like the more shallow pools too.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
You can like stand on that bad boy if you need to.
Yeah, these big sort of reef mantas. Mm-hmm. I think there's a reef mantis stuff. Yeah, big giant reef mantas. That's awesome. As you hone your eyes, Jules, you see what looks like a rider sort of pushing, rushing towards face sort of white. You see this giant manta ray kind of cresting the waves, rushing towards the beach where you stand, rushing towards the harbor. And as this figure gets closer, under the light of the stars and moon, you begin to make out the blackness of blood against their shell.
Ooh.
Blanche.
Son of a bitch.
You run down the hall. Yeah, I would think that Jean Franklin's room would not be terribly far from here, and so as you chase your pupil, you see in the short time he'd already managed to reach his room, door is closed. What do you do?
I'm really torn because, like, the Honorable Blanche would knock, but I think she's afraid. She doesn't know what she's afraid of yet.
Something feels so wrong here.
I think she just tries to open the door.
You. Door opens up into the room and Jean sort of looks up in some surprise. You look around this sparse. You know what? It's lavish. It's Jean. You look in this absolutely lavish bedroom.
Does he have the letter?
He does. I'm going to say maybe you see he was like tucking it away. Yeah, okay. So you see like he's got this big sort of comfy looking bed and he started kind of open up the pulled the mattress up and he's sort of trying to stick it beneath the mattress maybe as you open the door and you could make out like you know Jean,
yeah.
You know this is where he keeps all of his luminary comics. His father was never a big fan of those. So like he's sticking in right next to Mighty Pigman number 5, his sort of crown of his collection. A lot of Pigman comics. Some Atash, but yeah, you see like this, it's like, you know, the room itself is kingly, princely, whatever you would have it. And all the kind of immaturity of, you know, that is sort of present in Jean's soul is
sure
buried under that bed.
Man, I really want to like show restraint, but I'm like panicking for Blanche.
Oh shit!
Give that to me, Jean.
Sir,
that is mine.
It is. I'm going to. I need you to not hate me. Hate us. What he did is wrong. He was right to step down, but damn it, sir.
She walks over to grab it.
He, shaking fingers, almost just like our scene from earlier, Blanche above and Jean below. His hand reaches out to meet yours, this folded, sort of crumpled parchment in it. You go to take it?
Yeah, yeah, she grabs it.
As your hand reaches the paper, you hear.
What? That's the signal of war. What? What? Why? Why now? Why? Sir?
Okay, can Blanche read and run at the same time?
Oh, do you want to?
Yeah. Okay. She's already in Blade Song.
Hell yeah.
She's got the extra movement.
Yeah. Yeah, Jean looks to you. You grab the letter and start reading, but I think you know, like, when this goes off, you guys need to meet at a certain sort of mutual point. There's, like, I think down the bottom floor of the sandcastle, there's, like, a sort of war chamber. You'll gather there with your officers, with Jean, I guess with the king, but Jean is the king. Will the hero show? Who knows?
I don't think Blanche even says anything. She starts to read, and she's running towards the meeting chamber.
Jean swiftly falling behind. Sir, I... And you're just gone, running. You see, there's like two papers, actually, I should say, because there would be an envelope as well. And the first thing you note as you're going to move is the envelope, is the postmark, dated for a few months ago, a few weeks before the fall of the Sapphire and the Tythos tragedy. And you see it is from Umizu. It's a letter from the Shrine of Storms. War on the horizon. Your family here is in some ways falling apart around you. You look at this paper and you read the words that might break your heart.
You asshole.
My dearest Blanche Trudeau, I once told you that I would never push you down any set path, that once your blade is honed, it is yours to wield as you will. I feel stalwart in this. That, as your once master of the blade, I hold no power above you. I make no demands, and do not wish to appeal to any sense of debt you might wrongly feel towards me. Yet, with deep sorrow, I must tug upon your chosen path, and impede it with my own. I do so prostrate before you, I'm begging you. Please come to my aid. I must choose my words with great precision here, as this may fall into hands other than your own. I've been approached by a representative of a larger collective. A powerful representative with powerful allies. My position is Keeper of the Shrine of Storms, and the talents it affords me appeals greatly to their plot. I have chosen to play along, to hear them out, and to gain what information I can. I have learned much. Know this, Blanche. They are monsters, and their will is evil itself, whatever they pretend. I see the storm that is coming for us all, the storm they will bring to our worlds. I have pledged to stop them before their machinations can bloom into tragedy. I must act swiftly and without drawing suspicion. You are the only one that I can trust. I ask that you join me at the Shrine of Storms within the coming fortnight. When we are alone and safe, I will tell you everything, and I will ask you to fight by my side. Barring your assistance and your wisdom, I must move to face the leader of this plot alone. I am scared for myself, for our worlds. I will find strength in this fear, and I will pray that it will be enough. I hope that I might find strength in you as well. Your friend, always, Ozen Yoshikatsu.
I love to imagine that she reads that last line as she arrives and is just so torn to be, I guess, lied to by the people that she served so faithfully. Like, why should I stay?
Holy shit. Why should
I fight? Why don't I go to my true Blade Master?
And yet you know that your true Blade Master is gone. What happened, Blanche? What turned Ozen to attack Tythos? You've heard the stories. We never really dwelled on this. Perhaps something that Blanche hasn't focused on, but what happened? And would it have happened if you were there?
Okay. One more. Maybe just one more. And we'll figure this all out. She breathes. And she steps into the room.
What's the situation? Who knows what?
You look into the room to see Jules and Chester actually already there. You were on the beach when Master of Offense, the actual kind of like second in command, the Master of Defense, and who oversees a lot of the outwards patrolling of the Nine Pools, Galt Shavok.
Say that again.
Galt Shavok.
One more time.
Galt Shavok.
All right. I like this guy.
But you're focused mostly on the Golden Bay. You are, of course, supersede him. You are above him. But Galt Shavok, Master of Offense, oversees the Nine Pools around. You see, when Jules and Chester kind of met him on the beach, he led them, maybe recognizing the luminary who is John Franklin's partner, brings you along. And so you guys have gotten a quick sort of recap of what's happening as Blanche pushes into this room. Right now, all you see in this room are maybe like Galt Shavok, a couple of the head guards here, Jules Chester, and you. He looks up to you at your words. You see this older, kind of worn turtle, lots of sort of training battle scars down his face and the arms and stuff. He's, not quite as old as you, but he's a sort of trained veteran, very weathered looking.
Mm-hmm.
What's his voice? Try to find a voice. Master of Defense! I am going more French than before.
Mm-hmm. Pencil mustache and all?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He does have one, yeah. Little pencil mustache.
I know.
You have your hair, I can have hair too. Hell yeah. The Suhagin. They have launched a sudden offensive on the 8th pool while our people were distracted by the tourney. It has happened tonight. Much blood has been spilled. We are fighting them back, but we need reinforcements now to hold them at bay.
Blanche looks over to whoever is her, officer in charge of the guard here at the bay. Who can we spare?
Gianna DiPiero, I will say, move into the room now, kind of pushing in behind you. They kind of meet at the same time. Awkward sort of stare between them, but it's focus time now as they push in. How do you react? You feel DiPiero move up behind you.
I think she needs to figure out the situation first before she can backtrack and update people.
Hell yeah.
I think it's all business right now.
One of those, we're having no issues here, sir. We could, whatever you need, we could send. We will not keep at least 2 divisions to make sure that the Sahagin do not make a break for our Golden Bay. We must protect here utmost.
Yes, send.
Will it be enough?
Jean beside you.
Will it be enough without those 2 divisions?
Jean, your majesty.
Now, will it be enough without those 2 divisions? We cannot risk any lives. The Eighth Pool is far. Only if we require more reinforcements beyond this, it may be too late. Sir.
I'll see to it myself, my lord.
There's,
The guy speaks up like, there is more.
We have reports that one of the champions of the Sahagin managed to punch through our forces on the Sandine River with a small squad. 5 Shellguard dead, and a group of 5 civilians taken by force. They'll be on their way to the Maw.
On their way to the what?
The Maw. A heavy silence hits the room. You know of the Maw, where you turtles of the Golden Bay worship Kandarala, who is sort of the great spiraling coral reef that responds to honor and to discipline. The Maw of the Sahagin is this great toothy, this bony mouth, the fossil that lies at the bottom of their, the rift that they call their home. It is the god of bloodlust and predatory instinct. A dead god, but one that they believe, if they capture enough innocent lives, particularly they're fond of turtle lives, they will sacrifice them, feed their blood, their clouded blood, into the Maw. And when it feeds enough, it will awaken and lead them to control over the Golden Bay, over Nawari. It has always been, the Sahagin have always been your foremost enemies here. To attack like this, it's much like them. Perhaps you even had units spread out, a higher guard, preparing that, you know, they might go for something like this when the tournament was happening. But the Eighth Pool? That's so far back. What are they doing that far back?
So you said that they punched through the defenses of the Eighth Pool
to get
to this
Maw? I think as we kind of... So yes, they're heading back to their base with a group of civilians.
Okay. So they didn't punch through the defenses and continue going. They hit the Eighth Pool and now they're taking...
One champion and a squad punched through the defenses in the Sendine River, which you would know is like a kind of looping river that kind of goes around the north. It's more of a roundabout way back that kind of bypasses a lot of your guard, as the shell guard kind of came in to meet them, and they're kind of explaining this to you. We'll do this so I don't have to do a French accent the whole time. As the shell guard came to meet them, one group branched off with a bunch of civilians, a bunch of sacrifices, punched through the defenses that were kind of blocking the Sendine River, one of the only back ways out that's water-based. It's a longer sort of looping pathway, but it will lead back to the ocean, and it will lead them eventually back to their territory out in the deeper sea.
Why didn't they just go back the way they came?
There was a heavier guard moving in from there. The shell guard managed to rally.
Okay.
And there are a number of Sahagin still, kind of in combat or being driven back into the jungle.
Okay, so
they are disadvantaged.
Okay, so the Sahagin are encircled by the shell guard, but some Sahagin broke out and escaped.
There's two issues being proposed to you here.
Okay.
One is that they need more reinforcements to ensure they can drive away the Sahagin, without any more bloodshed. The battle is still ongoing in skirmishes, but they need more. On top of that, one Sahagin champion, a master of the spear, you would expect, has managed to just sneak away with a bunch of civilians.
Based on my Blanche's knowledge of the area, if she were to immediately go after this champion, would she catch up to him before he got back to wherever he's going?
You know the area well. You know a few things about this. The Sendine River is a longer slope, looping path. It's going to take a long time for them to get around that to hit the open ocean again. They have prisoners, 5. That's going to slow them. You also know that because the prisoners are turtles, they'll need to keep away from sort of the sea caves that might lead, to the main rift. They'll need to stay towards the surface. Turtles only can survive for 1 hour without drowning underwater, which means in order to keep their prisoners fresh for the sacrifice, they'll need to take the open ocean route. The the area kind of the bordering their territory is actually quite shallow and filled with these sort of large stone spires jutting up from the sea, which means likely they'll need to take, they'll stay close to the surface when they reach that point. All this flashes through your mind. I mean, you have a high intelligence. You're calculating it and you think, yes, if we're fast enough, we could catch them.
Okay. So she says to the captain of the local watch, send whoever is ready to reinforce the eighth pool. Rouse the rest. They'll be on double duty, securing the Golden Bay. Galt, you're with me. We're going after the hostages. Sacrifices.
I think you see DiPiero sort of jumps up just like, and you would take away most of our guard here. What if they come to attack us now? They're getting bolder. What if they come for me and for my family? Master Vance, this is... No, Father, she's right. We must rally and drive them off.
We will leave.
One other figure kind of moves into the room, actually, kind of as it's going on. You see Ledoux kind of awkwardly, timidly kind of moves in. Jean looks to him like, Ledoux, do you still have it? And Ledoux sort of presents a sending stone. Contact Harlan. It is time we call upon the Silent Verse
nice.
To back us up here. It'll take them some time to reach us, but what troops we have here can help to rally. We need to send whoever we can. Nobody has to die unnecessarily. But Jean sort of bites his turtle beak, whatever. Master of Offense Javak, I am sorry to disagree with you, Master Defense, but I believe he will be needed to rally the troops. Instead, I think it's best you take a small squad, one that can make it into territory without being noted quickly by the Shark Scouts. His eyes flash to you, Jules, to you, Chester. If you're willing. These are not your people, Jules. You do not have to accept this. It will be dangerous.
Do you know me at all, Jean?
Just a big smile. I should not have asked. Yeah, let's do it. And of course, I will be going with you, too. And then just immediately, under no circumstances will you do so. Only a fool, King DiPiero, just raging. Then a fool I will be, Father. I am not content to stand on the sidelines when I can save lives. Why else would I wield this? Just hammers the golden spear down. This is the same fire that led your mother to battle the Sahagin champions. Her blood fed the maw along with those taken in her time. Would you have it taste yours as well? Then I can say, Father, with confidence that Mother made the right choice. It killed her, yes, but it was the right choice, and I am proud to make it too. Now I suggest you guard your tongue from further argument, else you will need to be removed from this war council immediately. Do not forget who rules here now. Your coronation is a formality. You publicly resigned. Or have you changed your mind? Perhaps I should share with everyone here the very depths of your dishonor. DiPiero's eyes flash to you again, Blanche. But he is silent.
Blanche steps close to Jean. They're like chest to chest, nose to nose. And she says quietly, just for him to hear, if you ever speak contrary to my orders in front of my soldiers again, it will be the last orders I speak here. I do not have the time to argue with you, so let's go. And she steps away.
Now everyone, move!
You see, Shavak salutes. Everyone starts to break off. Jean sort of frozen in this moment. Hands, fists, wave. Carries the stress away. Yes. Very well, sir. Jules, Chester, let's move. And we'll call it there.